Welcome to Sentinel Watch, a production of the Christian Science Sentinel, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Amy Richmond. I've got a friend in the studio with me today to talk about what she's learned about spiritual healing. I think we're in for a real treat. My guest is Lori Scott. Lori is a Christian Science practitioner. That's someone who's available to the public to pray for them and to witness healing. Welcome, Lori.
Thanks, Amy. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad you are here.
I'm so glad I'm here, too.
Okay, so as you know, I've wanted to record a show with you for a long time about healing, ever since I found out that your grandmother had a testimony published in the Christian Science Journal, which made a huge impact on me. I was at a meeting here at work one day, and someone said, "Oh, I love that testimony." I had come in during the middle of the discussion, and everyone in the room agreed that it was a phenomenal testimony, and I didn't know what they were talking about. So someone gave me the link, and I read that testimony, and it kind of changed my life. That testimony, did you know, Lori, it was published 70 years ago last year.
Really?
Yes, in 1955.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
Wow,
inspiring people today.
I love it.
Yeah.
Still inspires me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get into what you've learned about spiritual healing, let's talk a little bit about that grandmother of yours and that healing that I love so much. Why don't you tell our audience about it?
Yeah. Well, my grandma was a mentor, a best friend, and so I heard about this healing many times growing up. What happened was she was a young mom with one little girl living in Buffalo, New York, with her husband and little girl, and she was very sick. She had an internal growth. She was completely paralyzed. She was completely blind. She was in tremendous pain, and the doctor who was attending her explained to her as gently as he could that she had 1 to 1.5 years left to live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they had some very kind neighbors in their apartment building who were Christian Scientists, and she knew a tiny bit about Christian Science, and so she decided she was going to try Christian Science. So she called this practitioner, and they were working together. He was praying for her, and my grandmother was the daughter of a minister, and her dad raised her to be obedient.
Mm.
Well, the practitioner, at one point when it looked like it was kind of at a crisis point where she might be passing on, the practitioner said, "I want you to hold to one thought the entire night, and that is there is no power apart from God."
And that comes from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures.
Right. And that was written by Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered this science, Christian Science. There is no power apart from God. So she agreed, and like I said, her dad and mom had raised her to be obedient, and pain would shoot through her body, and she'd say, "Well, surely that's a power apart from God." And she said, "No, I promised there's no power apart from God." And so then she would try to see something, but she was completely blind. "No, there's no power apart from God." You know, she just kept going back to that and thinking more and more deeply as the night went on about what does that mean. She would try to move and she was paralyzed. So she'd go back to, "No, there's no power apart from God." In the morning, she felt not only clear about there truly is no power apart from God, but she also felt a severe pain, and the entire growth passed from her body. And I remember she said the first thing she wanted was a tomato sandwich. And to hear her describe that tomato sandwich, it was the most delicious thing she'd ever eaten. And she went on to have a very full life. She actually went on to have a baby the next year.
So she was completely healed of the blindness
and the paralysis. She was completely healed of the blindness, the paralysis, the pain. truly completely gone. As a matter of fact, 2 years later, she crossed paths with the physician who had told her she had 1.5 years max to live, and he just couldn't believe his eyes, and he gave her a very thorough physical examination. Okay. And he says there's no trace of the old problem. And she went on, actually, to be a journal advertising Christian Science practitioner herself for, gosh, I think well over 40 years.
Wow, that's great.
So definitely paid it forward. Definitely paid it forward.
Yeah. That's so amazing. And what a great model for you.
Yeah.
And for your family.
Yeah.
What other stories did she tell you?
Oh, man. I got a lot of grandma stories.
Okay.
I'll tell you one of the others that was my favorite. So after retiring, my grandfather had a big vegetable garden and fruit garden. Not commercial, but for a private garden, gigantic. You know, peas, corn, strawberries, raspberries, everything. And so he would work hard through the year in caring for these plants. And when the harvest came in, the idea is that my grandmother would clean them, wash them, blanch them, freeze them, whatever she needed to do. So one day she had quite a few patients that she was working for as a practitioner, and the pea harvest came in. Well, there were just bushels of these peas, and she was so torn. How does she be a good wife and be a good practitioner?
Right.
She had no idea how she was going to do both. So she decided she'll just lay down for a moment and just pray about this. And the thought came, write down the exact time. So she took a note paper, wrote down the exact time. She then mentally held up each one of her patients to God and said, God, what do you know about cancer? Mm. And God said, I don't know anything about cancer. Mm. She held up the next patient to God and said, God, what do you know about diabetes? And she felt God saying to her, I don't know anything about diabetes. So she went through every single case she was working on, and each time the response was the same. She felt God telling her, I don't know anything about that disease. The thought came, write down the time again. So she did. She took that pad of paper and wrote down the time, and 3 minutes had passed. 3 minutes,
just
that's
three.
It. Yeah. And within 24 hours, every single patient called her and had been completely healed.
Of those pretty serious conditions.
These were very serious conditions. Yeah. So that was another story that I just have always held close.
For those listeners right now that might not know very much about Christian Science, can you explain a little bit how your grandmother could get that message and understand it, that God didn't know about those problems?
Sure. I'll just say what I think she might have been thinking. You know, in science and health, which you mentioned earlier, there's a definition of God, and it includes seven synonyms: life, truth, love, mind, soul, spirit, and principle. So that's a way to see God. And then at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, it says, man is made in the image and likeness of God. So therefore, man is made in the image and likeness of, pick a synonym.
Love, truth.
Love, truth, mind, whatever. Yeah. So I think she saw herself and each of her patients as made in the image and likeness of God, and that includes no disease. And it was God confirming what she had been growing to see all along. You know, there's a passage in the Bible in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I think that's really what my grandmother was doing, is bringing every thought about each one of those patients in line with the Christ, the truth, the message from God about each one of those patients. Oh, and by the way, the pea harvest was properly cared for.
Everybody was happy.
Everybody was happy.
Okay. great. That's great.
And I think we can all hear that voice of God when we get still and say, God, you have my undivided attention. I'm listening.
Yeah, and it's not a parlor trick. It's not like you can just think those words and move on your way. She had a clear sense of what God was.
Yeah.
And that enabled those healings to take place.
And that's possible for everyone.
Right.
You know, absolutely everyone. It's not that you have to have had a dramatic healing necessarily, or been studying Christian Science for decades and decades. It's even if you take one tiny truth that you have learned in Christian Science and apply it either to your own situation or to a world situation or to a friend who's asked you to pray for them, it's accessible to absolutely everyone.
Yeah, that's wonderful, right?
Yeah.
So I want to go back to, you mentioned that obedience was a key component in mm-hmm. your grandmother's first healing.
Mm-hmm.
How have you incorporated obedience into your spiritual practice?
Mm. For me, it's being obedient to that still small voice. You know, in the Bible, it talks about the still small voice. And that's God speaking to us. So carving out time at the start of the day and throughout the day to set aside the to-do list, to set aside the errands, the work, whatever, and just give God our undivided attention and then obey that. Would you like to hear a healing?
I'd love
where
to.
That was a key part of it. I really felt I needed to set aside some time to give God my undivided attention. So my family went off camping for a week, and I gave God my undivided attention. I did Bible study. I read Science and Health. I prayed. And about 2 days into it, I noticed I'd had a healing. Mm. But I hadn't been praying about this condition. What had happened is for about a year, I had been deaf in one ear. And I prayed about it off and on, but I was able to get by with hearing out of just one ear. But about 2 days into what I call my spiritual spa vacation, where I gave God my undivided attention, about 2 days in, I was standing at the bathroom mirror, and there was a window to my right, and I realized I could hear the birds singing.
Oh.
And I was like, wait. How is that possible? The birds were singing on the side that had the deaf ear. And I realized my hearing was completely normal. And that was an interesting healing because I wrestled a little bit. Why, after praying about it off and on for a year, was it not healed? And yet, during this time where I was giving God my undivided attention, but not praying specifically about that, why was it healed? And there's a great line from Science and Health that to me explained it. And it's spirituality lays open siege to materialism. I realized that as I had turned my focus completely to spirit, that imposition of being deaf in one ear was just gone. And it's been gone for years, probably close to 20 years now.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, it reminds me of a testimony I heard where this man said he had had a chronic problem, I think for decades, you know, it was a long time, and he had prayed and prayed, and he had called practitioners. And then one day he decided, I am done praying about this. I decided I wasn't going to pray about that problem anymore. I was going to focus on God. And once he did that, he was completely healed.
I love that. Yeah.
It's kind of like what you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Turning our focus to God completely, giving God all the glory, all the attention.
Yeah, that's great.
And God's will for us is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that might be one of the biggest lessons you've learned that supports your practice is this kind of obedience and focusing on God?
Yeah. And I think getting our priorities straight. There is nothing more important than being still and giving God our undivided attention. That's what eliminates fear. That's what eliminates doubt. That's what gives us confidence.
So what if somebody is trying to focus on God, but they go, well, I don't feel God. I'm trying to listen to him, but I don't hear him.
I guess I would just affirm the truth, whether silently or audibly, about their spiritual nature and that they are receptive, that God is speaking directly to that individual. I would affirm prayerfully that that individual does, in fact, hear God. God is talking directly to every single one of us. And it certainly is that individual's right. If I had a patient who said something like that, it certainly is their right to hear that message straight from God. There's a passage from Science and Health that's written on many Christian Science churches' walls, not all of them, but many, and it's divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. So that's also an important point, that divine love is meeting that individual's need. It doesn't need to come through another person, but divine love is meeting the need, whatever that need is. That need is. And it might be surprising how that need is met. As the Bible says, God knows what we need even before we ask.
Right. So tell me a little bit about what prompted you to want to advertise as a full-time Christian Science practitioner.
Thank you for asking, Amy. You know, I was really blessed because from the time I was 5 years old, both of my parents were Christian Scientists. So Christian Science was always around me. I saw them living and practicing it. I experienced many healings. I went to Sunday school and learned the basics, like the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, etc. On Wednesday nights, we went to church at my local Christian Science church, and I heard testimonies every week of healings. And I had experienced so many healings. So it was very natural for me to put it into practice. But then as an adult, I needed to make my own choice. You know, it's kind of like if you're raised by great musicians, that doesn't make you a musician.
Right.
So I was raised by two great Christian Scientists, but that didn't make me a Christian Scientist. But as I thought back about my life, I thought, I have experienced and witnessed too many healings to pretend I don't know that this is the truth. And so I very much wanted to practice Christian Science. If I was going to be a Christian Scientist, I wanted the best tools possible. So I took a two-week course in Christian Science healing called Christian Science Class Instruction. I highly recommend it. It's the best. And then once every year, you have an association day where the students of that teacher gather and you have sort of a one-day seminar on Christian Science healing. So that was tremendously helpful for me. I had different situations where I would pray for others and they would be healed, but I kept putting it off. And at one point, my family and I were living in Sydney, Australia, and my visa did not allow me to work. And my little girls were down for naps, and my husband was off at work, and we were completely unpacked in our humble little apartment.
You didn't have anything to do.
Exactly. You know, Amy, truly, I was sitting on the couch thinking, I have completely run out of excuses. Completely. So I set aside every Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. for the public practice of Christian Science. So for praying about more than just my little universe, but praying for the world. So that was Monday night, 7 to 9. Every single Tuesday morning, I got a call from a friend, a relative, someone needing the spiritual insights I had gained the night before. And one friend finally said, this is ridiculous, Lori. You have helped me and I'm going to send you a check. I said, well, you can, but I can't cash it. So anyway, she sent me a check, and it was very interesting. The next day, the restrictions on my visa were lifted. The day after I received that $10
check. That's interesting.
It was very interesting. So progressing. It was about 15 years ago, I really felt a stronger and stronger nudge to advertise publicly. And that's when your contact information is out there for the world. And I thought, well, I just don't have time. I was very involved with some church projects that were demanding. And I thought, I just don't have time to advertise. I'll help people if they call me and ask me to pray for them. But advertising is a whole different kettle of fish.
And it seems like a much bigger commitment.
A much bigger commitment and a serious commitment.
Right.
So I was thinking about it. I thought, what do I do when my children call me and ask for prayerful help? I drop everything, pray about it, and we have quick healings. So I realized at that moment, it wasn't so much that I needed more time as I needed to love everyone, even people I haven't met, as deeply as I love my daughters.
That's a great insight.
Yeah, it was the aha moment I needed. And shortly after that, I did take out that ad in the journal, and it's been a real joy. And it's been, surprisingly, it's been a real blessing and support to me. You know, in church work, you do things to bless others, and then it ends up blessing you also. So I certainly didn't advertise to bless me, but it has been a blessing to get a front row seat at how God works.
I remember being surprised once I was in the journal advertising as a practitioner by how much I was blessed.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about that before, really. And I, like you said, I didn't go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be good for me.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't
not the
idea. Goal at all.
Yeah.
But it has been so good for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other day we were out for lunch, you and I, because we're friends.
We're buddies.
We're buddies.
And we live close.
And we live close. And you told me that two things need to be in place for people to call you.
Yes.
For help. So tell us about those.
Yes. One is I need to mentally be prepared. I need to be in a position where I have something to give. If I am deeply wrestling with something, it tends to get quiet in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
When I am on top of my game and feeling God's care, then the phone rings. And the way I mentally prepare each day is to start with prayer, with Bible study, with reading Science and Health, etc. The other thing that needs to be in place is I need to give my consent. I am willing to take these calls.
That's great. So that can be really helpful for those that are listening and who might be interested in developing a public spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Think about those two things.
And you know, it's beautiful, Amy, because there's all kinds of people in the public practice of Christian Science. There are young parents where, you know, if the children need them, maybe the practice gets quiet. Once the kids are in school, maybe the phone starts ringing more. But there's just a natural, harmonious flow to it, that it's not a burden. Soul, which is one of the synonyms for God, is choreographing our days, that the calls come in when we are prepared and we have given our consent.
I always think how God's a really great matchmaker, not just with specific people necessarily, but definitely always knowing what I need in my life. You know, when I'm very busy, like you say, the practice sometimes gets a little quieter. When I have the bandwidth, gets very busy.
Yeah.
And it's not something we have to force.
We don't have to force it. We just have to be prepared and give our consent to those calls coming in.
Right.
Thank you.
in my family, we have a saying, recognize the practice call.
What does that mean?
What that means to me, you can ask the rest of my family if you want, but what that means to me is the calls aren't always, hi, Lori, my stomach hurts, can you pray for me? Sometimes they're very unexpected calls. I'll give you an example. So in the town where I used to live, a young woman was in town for an internship, and she began attending our church. She was from another country. She had several roommates. Pretty soon, she brought all of her roommates to our church services also. They ended up going to every event we had, whether it was a lecture, a reading room event, whatever. They just were loving Christian Science. Mm. This one particular woman had been to a handful of Christian Science Sunday school classes as a child. So she knew that prayer was effective, but that's about all she knew. One night she called me. She says, Lori, there are spirits opening and closing the doors in our apartment.
Okay.
And I thought, well, this is a call I've never gotten before. So in cases like this, I think you have to pause and just make sure you understand what they're asking for. But these girls were terrified. They truly felt that spirits were in their apartment opening and closing doors. So at first, this young woman and I talked as friends. I said, well, you know, in this country, you can call 911 if you think there's some person in your apartment. She says, okay. And then she and I talked a little bit more, and I wanted to be sure she wanted Christian Science treatment, and that was, in fact, what she wanted. She made it clear that she was calling me as a Christian Science practitioner, not just as a friend, but as a Christian Science practitioner, and she wanted me to pray specifically for her and the safety of her and her roommates in the apartment. So I said, okay. This friend did give me permission to share this story. Normally, communication between a patient and a Christian Science practitioner is 100% confidential. But we talked for a few minutes about how there is only one spirit, and that's with a capital S, and that is synonymous with God. There is only one spirit. That spirit is all good. There's not a bunch of little spirits, good, bad, and in between running around and opening and closing doors. There's only one spirit, and God is right there with you and your friends, and I will pray for you tonight. So she said, thank you. We hung up. The next morning, she called back, and there was just complete peace in the apartment. The doors stopped opening and closing, and they went on to have a wonderful year.
That's great.
With their internship. And they just felt peaceful and safe. And that was really it. And, you know, you think, well, of course there weren't spirits. But isn't that true with every call we get? That it's an invitation to believe there's something besides an all-good God governing. Whether it's spirits opening and closing apartment doors, or it's the suggestion of lack of supply or an inharmonious relationship or an illness. It's all the same thing. It's a suggestion that God, good, is not in control. So that was a sweet one that taught me you never know what's going to be said on the other end of the phone.
Right. Yeah. And you're still prepared. Even so.
Still prepared. God has prepared you. Right. I mean, how often, Amy, I know we both have this experience where we get certain guidance in the morning as we're praying about our day, and that's exactly what is needed later in the day.
Right. That story kind of reminds me, it brings us back a little full circle to your grandmother, because basically the answer to every issue is that there is no power apart from God.
There
right?
is no power apart from God. If there appears to be a spirit apart from God, a mind apart from God, a life apart from God, it's, to put it bluntly, an illusion. It's not true. There is no power apart from God.
I have to say, I mean, I had read that phrase in Science and Health before, but reading your grandmother's testimony made me really incorporate it into my day. It's a daily practice for me to think about that quote now, and it's so powerful, so potent.
Yeah, and if they want to find it, that testimony is in the December 1955 issue of the Christian Science Journal under the name of Lois B. Esty.
And we'll have a link in our show notes.
Oh, great.
That people can access.
Good.
Highly recommend it. Yeah. Okay, so now it's time for my last question. And I ask this knowing that you just had a pretty big experience with an epic journey around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next in your big life?
You know, Amy, that epic journey was wonderful. I wanted to give God some undivided attention, and so I got on a ship and circled the globe and made all sorts of wonderful new friends and learned that God does, in fact, as the Bible says, know what we need even before we ask it. So as far as this next chapter, I am just loving this chapter as I pray all day, every day, what's the next step, Father? What's the next step, Father? And then just listening and having the Father guide me forward.
So the adventure continues, right?
The adventure definitely continues, including this discussion.
There you go. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me and with all of our listeners. It's been a real delight, Lori.
It's been a pleasure, Amy. Thanks so much, and I look forward to having lunch again soon.
Okay, me too. I've been speaking with Lori Scott. Lori lives in Boston, Massachusetts. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm your host and executive producer, Amy Richmond. The podcast is also produced by Carlos Machado and Sophie Ungerleiter. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. See you next week.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.